Okay, you're listening to Green Left Radio on 3CR 855 AM. And we are joined today by Alex Bainbridge, who is a member of Socialist Alliance and is also a Green Left activist journalist. And as I sort of announced before, Alex was actually part of attending a series of protests that took place outside the ALP National Conference last weekend. And in Brisbane, and in fact, if you look on greenleft.org.au, you can actually get a lot of coverage that, you can see a lot of coverage that Alex Bainbridge has done on the ALP National Conference, especially in sense of the protests. And Alex also, which, and this is sort of the subject of the interview, Alex also wrote a bit of an analysis piece for Green Left, titled Labor Fails on AUKUS, Housing and Taxation. And so we're going to be having a bit of a political discussion about, you know, some of the implications of the ALP National Conference and, you know, why they've ultimately, you know, failed to really offer anything to ordinary working people. So good morning, Alex.
Good morning, Jacob.
So Alex, I kind of want to, I guess I want to start hearing your sort of thoughts on this, because you opened this sort of article basically by quoting Anthony Albanese, and this has been sort of one of the main kind of takeaway messages that he's given as part in the ALP's 49th National Conference. And he basically, Anthony Albanese basically said, we are not in the Labor Party for mere gestures. And he basically made this argument that long-term government is essentially counterposed to protest. And, you know, he very much dangled this sort of notion of longevity in government as a payoff for all the support for Labor's kind of repressive sort of policies. And I guess I want to hear some of your takes and your analysis on, you know, how outrageous this sort of message that the ALP is very much trying to present.
Yeah, well, thanks, Jacob. I don't disagree with Albanese that long-term government is better than short-term government if you've got a progressive agenda that you're trying to implement. I think the problem with what Albanese was saying is that he's more or less saying to both the rank and file of the Labor Party and also the broader public that are watching on, he's saying you've got to put up with this centrism and moderate policies or even conservative policies. There is no other option if you want us to be in power for a long time. And I think there's two things that are wrong with that. First is, well, it's false. Like, Labor would actually have a better chance of building up a popular support base if they actually implemented policies that were in the interest of ordinary people. And secondly, that is an unfair bargain to make people, you know, to sort of try and force on people. The policies that are being implemented right now, like the state fee tax cuts and like the AUKUS submarine, hundreds of billions of dollars that ordinary taxpayers are going to pay for. And, you know, in the midst of a climate crisis and a housing crisis, Labor is not doing anything, not even remotely enough to deal with. So, like, in terms of the urgent, immediate needs of ordinary people, in that sense, Albanese is failing people, and he's making excuses, which on the surface might seem plausible, but when you scrutinise them, they don't stand up to scrutiny.
Actually, one of the things that I noticed, Alex, it's Sue here, is that there was quite a lot of criticism about the Labor Party, and especially actually the Socialist Left faction, which Albanese comes from, really trying to crack down on debate and people being able to put things forward. And then I also noticed that the CFMEU's proposal for a super tax super tax on profits was watered down quite considerably in the conference. So do you want to just maybe say a little bit about how the how the Labor Party managed to, you know, dampen down criticism from any sort of left criticism internally in the conference?
Yeah, look, I wasn't able to be in the conference myself, so any comments that I can make are just based on reports I've heard from others. But, I mean, I think you're right. I mean, the CFMEU went into the conference with a, you know, basically a good proposal for a super profits tax, which they were going to, you know, suggesting be used to fund public housing, 50,000 or more public houses per year, which is a long way ahead of what Albanese is proposing. You know, it may or may not have been enough, but it certainly was, like, it definitely was a bloody good start. That proposal was, you know, was kind of passed, but in an amended way, so it was so watered down it more or less came to a, you know, congratulations on the government, and we'd like a little bit of reconsideration of, I can't remember the exact words, but like, reconsidering company tax reform. So, I mean, like, that's obviously a motion that puts zero pressure on the government, whereas a motion that, if it had passed, calling for a super profits tax on, you know, with the specifics that the CFMU originally moved, like, you know, businesses over $100 million a year and so forth, that would have, you know, obviously Labor government is not bound by the party conference decision, but that would have been a lot more pressure on the government. So, I mean, I think there's kind of two sides to it. On the one side, yeah, of course the Labor Party leadership is very keen to not have those kinds of, you know, that kind of pressure coming from the conference. So the Labor Party leadership manoeuvred very strongly to try and, you know, water down those sort of oppositions. And similarly, there was a debate on AUKUS, but and all the reports are that it was a voice vote only, and all the reports are that it was either somewhere from a significant minority or else equally loud opposition to AUKUS as support for it. But there was a factional deal made to not count the vote, so nobody knows what level of opposition, if it had come to a vote, still had to sort of indicate their position one way or the other. Nobody knows what that would have been. So, of course, the leadership is going to manoeuvre to try and reduce that kind of pressure on the government. And, you know, fair enough, good on the people that had a go and sort of tried to express their opposition inside the conference in some way. But I think also you've got to say it is a little bit weak of the opposition not to have pressed those issues, not a single delegate called for a vote on the AUKUS numbers. In my mind, if you are inside the Labor Party and wanting to try and get some improvements from the Labor Party, okay, I mean, that's not the approach that I've taken to activism, but I mean, if you have taken that approach, I think you still have to realise the Labor Party's leadership is not your friends. The Labor Party leadership is a capitalist government trying to run the government in the interests of the big business end of town. You can't win against that leadership without being prepared to actually fight them. And that means, I think, stronger action than what the Labor Party left was prepared to do in this conference.
And I guess I want to kind of, I want you to kind of broadly kind of comment on really, you know, basically expand a bit on this sort of Labor sort of notion of long-term government, like kind of commenting on what is actually the kind of Labor Party actually offering. And also, you know, the other thing as well is AUKUS was obviously a kind of big sort of issue at this sort of conference. And in fact, what is sort of notable is probably AUKUS is by far one of the kind of policies that there's clearly the most clear sort of left ALP sort of left opposition to it. In fact, there's been a number of branches who have passed motions opposing AUKUS, and there is at least sort of one politician in the ALP who's sort of opposed to AUKUS, but of course not necessarily for the reasons that we would kind of agree with. And I kind of want to hear you sort of comment a bit more on Labor's sort of, how Labor really projected AUKUS at this conference. And also, you know, another comment as well is, another thing to comment on as well is, you know, the fact that in the media, the way it was sort of reported is it's quite interesting because basically, Peter Dutton sort of got on the sort of megaphone and not the megaphone literally, but, in the media, he was basically sort of saying, well, in responding to sort of the opposition to AUKUS, he sort of tried to make this sort of argument, well, I can't believe that the ALP would be divided on this sort of question of national kind of security. So I want to hear some of your comments on some of those points related to AUKUS.
Yeah, I mean, on the question you raised about long-term government, I mean, I think it's pretty clear, more or less, Albanese is saying we want long-term government for the sake of long-term government. And, like, Laura Tingle wrote an article about AUKUS, but no, like, more or less saying, like, you know, calling it an empty vessel, like, just basically there's no kind of substance to this. It's like just, you know, we want long-term government for the sake of long-term government. And that is actually a betrayal of working class interests, to sort of put it in that sort of way. You know, keeping, there's no point keeping the Liberals out of government just to create the conditions in which the Liberals are going to get back in a stronger form next time. Now, on the question of AUKUS specifically, it's definitely true there's a lot of opposition inside Labor to AUKUS, and, you know, for a mix of reasons, there is a certain sort of pro-imperialist, pro-capitalist case against AUKUS, but there's also, you know, I think there are unionists that are very genuinely saying, why are we spending this money on, you know, nuclear submarines when there's, you know, housing need, climate need, you know, jobs needs. I mean, like, there's a whole lot of things that money could be better spent on, and also, you know, legitimate criticisms about the nuclear waste the government's got no answer for. They're just, you know, hoping it'll go away. And other, you know, good criticisms as well. So I think there's a lot of good reasons to see actually that there are people inside the Labor Party that are more or less allies in a good campaign to stop this AUKUS deal from eventuating. And, look, I mean, Peter Dutton's going to say what Peter Dutton's going to say. I mean, to be honest, I don't know that on our side of politics we need to pay that much attention to it. I mean, I think the real thing is that, you know, this whole argument, I mean, the ruling class, media and politicians always try and create on national security as some sacrosanct thing that you can't question and is important above all else. Well, it's not important above all else. And, you know, also you've got to have a realistic question about, well, what does national security mean? When Peter Dutton and Anthony Albanese talk about AUKUS and national security, what they're talking about is a war drive against China. That would be a complete disaster for ordinary people in Australia, not to mention ordinary people in China and the whole world. You know, so that's what they're talking about. We need to be 100% opposed to a war on China and all the little incremental stepping stones towards that. On the other hand, you know, I mean, national security isn't the way I'd personally want to frame it, but if you do want to talk about national security as such, climate crisis, climate catastrophe, climate breakdown is a much bigger threat to the security of ordinary people in this country and the whole world than any risk of, you know, war from China or, frankly, anyone else. So if you actually do care about the security and welfare of people in this country, then the government should be, you know, stopping all the new fossil fuel developments, including, you know, the gas hub and whatever else in Western Australia, Beetaloo, and using the money, hundreds of billions of dollars, and it will no doubt become more than the $368 billion currently being touted by the end of AUKUS. It will be, you know, close to, if not over $1 trillion by the time we get to the end of it. That money should be spent on a climate transition, renewable energy, jobs for and a just transition plan for affected communities. That's what that money should be spent on. And if you were truly concerned about the security and welfare of ordinary people, that's what you would do. And the fact that they're talking about, you know, Peter Dutton and the media and so forth are talking about national security and linking it to AUKUS, well, it's a complete lie, because AUKUS is against the actual security and welfare of ordinary people in Australia.
Well, just one thing, Alex, it strikes me with the conference, is the only area where there was significant challenge to the Labor Party's big business policies was around AUKUS, whereas it seems that on so many other issues, social and environmental issues, the government has unfortunately been fairly successful, especially within the Labor Party, at dampening down expectations so much, to think that we can't do anything more than the bare basics of incremental change. And we saw that with the Climate Safeguards Bill, which you wrote extensively on and demonstrated that actually the bill was worse than useless and only saved fractionally by some of the amendments by the Greens. We've also talked on this program about the housing bill of the government's, which is also similar, you know, worse than useless, you know, as just a, you know, investment kind of thing rather than directly building public housing. But also on the issue of refugees, I noticed that the, you know, the government's said at the conference that they'll lift the refugee intake or humanitarian intake to 20,000. Now, the actual policy going into the elections was 27,000, but it seems to me that maybe even Labor for Refugees has almost given up on really fighting for justice. They reiterated that they will give permanent protection to people on temporary protection visas and CHEV visas. But meanwhile, all of these refugees have been left out in the cold, the people on Nauru, the people in PNG that the Labor Party and the Australian government has abandoned. But there's 12,000 refugees who are on bridging visas who were medevaced here from Australia, not able to... The government has basically adopted the coalition policy of abandoning, saying you will never, ever, 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 ever get resettled in Australia. You have to go to another country. And I noticed a welcoming or congratulatory message from Asylum Seekers Resource Centre and some other refugee advocacy groups, not so much the activist wing of the movement, congratulating them for the lift in the number of humanitarian places without drawing attention to the fact they're not resolving the situation for so many refugees. So, yeah, just if you might want to make any comments on any of that.
Yeah, look, I mean, to be honest, I haven't paid a lot of attention to the refugee content of the conference. But I think that the issue of refugees in Australian politics, like, I feel like looking, taking a long-term look over the last 22 years since the John Howard first sort of manufactured this Tampa affair as an attempt at a wedge against Labor, a successful wedge against Labor. And all of politics in Australia has shifted to the right, because the Labor Party essentially capitulated and abandoned any opposition to the anti-refugee policies that the Liberals kind of foisted on us. I mean, obviously Labor's got some responsibility because before that they introduced mandatory detention, but I think John Howard in Tampa was a big step up on the attack on refugees, and in the time of the sort of Julia Gillard and Kevin Rudd era of government, you know, after initially when many refugees coming, they sort of had a better policy for a short time, but then, you know, completely capitulated in what, you know, Labor Party might people present as clever politics, but in my view, for progressive politics is actually about winning support among the public for progressive change. So Labor Party might think it's clever, oh, well, we neutralised this issue by just accommodating to a draconian policy against refugees. Well, the problem with that is that helps to shift all of politics to the right. And, you know, on every issue, housing, climate, everything, we're all worse off because you can't throw some people under the bus and then expect that you're going to have like a progressive agenda. Now, in terms of the Labor Party leadership, they don't want to have a progressive agenda. They basically want to manage capitalism in the interest of big business. And sure, maybe, you know, bring about some reforms within that context. But their loyalty to big business is the priority. That's, that's the leadership of the Labor Party. And we saw the Hawke and Keating governments bring in a whole platform of neoliberalism, introducing neoliberalism into Australia, in furtherance of that aim. And pretty much every Labor government since then has continued down that same neoliberal path and looking after big business interests against workers, ordinary working people, while mouthing platitudes to the opposite. And that's my view. That's why I look at it. And I think refugees have been thrown under the bus. Yes, there is some improvement compared to what Peter Dutton was doing when they were in government last. But it's not enough, and they're still leaving people under the bus. And it's emblematic of Labor's whole approach, which is not to argue a progressive case. And I always think, not that I remember it, but having heard the example of Doc Ebbett, a Labor Party leader in decades past, when the Menzies government tried to ban the Communist Party, outlaw the Communist Party, Doc Ebbett, as a senior Labor Party leader, waged a campaign. I mean, Menzies' initial proposal had popular support, the same as Howard's Tampa policy had popular support at the beginning. And Doc Ebbett turned the public opinion around and made it impossible for Menzies to ban the Communist Party. Now, that kind of political campaigning from a Labor Party figure, like actually campaigning to win popular support for an opposition to the coalition idea, you haven't seen that for such a long time. We turned around the popular opinion to Howard's opposition to Tampa, but that was the refugee rights movement that did that. There was no kind of Doc Ebbett equivalent figure in the Labor Party leadership who was arguing that case. Some Labor Party people were supporting that campaign in the first phase of the refugee rights campaign. But then since the Rudd and Gillard governments, there hasn't really been anyone in Labor prepared to speak up against the big issues, which is boat turnbacks and mandatory detention. And that's when we'll know that we've actually won the refugee rights campaign, when those policies are overturned. And I think that the failures on bridging visas and whatever else, I mean, well, obviously there's been some improvements, but it's not enough. And there are people that are being failed. That's a side effect. That's a symptom of the fact that we haven't won the big questions, which is boat turnbacks and mandatory detention.
Well, Alex, we're running a bit out of time now, but I guess, do you want to make any sort of concluding final comments?
Look, I think that it's important that, we work with Labor Party people when there is agreement. I think the fact that there is so much opposition in AUKUS means that is a tremendous opportunity for building hopefully a stronger and hopefully a winning campaign on this issue. But my feeling is that in the end, we need to build a political force to the left of the Labor Party if we're going to win, because Labor Party on all of the main issues has proving themselves to be not good enough, not up to scratch of what people need. So I say build a left opposition for the Labor Party if you want to actually see progressive change.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Alex Bainbridge. I think this has been a very important kind of discussion. And just a reminder to our listeners, you can look at all the coverage that Alex Bainbridge has done of the protest outside the ALP National Conference on greenleft.org.au. And you can also read his feature article for Green Left, which is Labor Fails on AUKUS, Housing and the Environment. So, yeah, thank you very much, Alex, for being on our program.
Thanks, Jacob, and see you.
Thanks, Alex.